This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Monday to you, SB Nation Radio. It is SB Nation AM. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's, and your thoughts on Super Bowl 54. Chiefs and the Niners as Jimmy Garoppolo and Patrick Mahomes will take center stage as quarterbacks, leading their teams to the big game. But it is really Patrick Mahomes that is probably going to be the highlight of the next week or the 2 weeks of analysis based on what he did against not only Tennessee, but of course the Houston Texans and his comeback. Look, we talk about this in the NFL a lot, but it really is exemplified in these Super Bowls that this league gives you plenty of tools to be successful. They hand you a salary cap and they say, look, everybody else, nobody can outspend you. No, there's no big market, little market here. Nobody, use your money wisely, figure out, you know, evaluate your talent correctly. Find your right head coach, find your right offensive and defensive strategies. And oh, by the way, if you're not very good, if you're struggling, we're going to allow you early access into the talented players that are coming up that can be taken. It's up to you to put together an organization that is capable of achieving victories using all of those tools. And it's got to be frustrating for teams that continue to struggle year in and year out, like the Cleveland Browns, for example, or you know, teams that are just can't seem to find their way to this level where you draft and you spend money and you look at free agency and all of those things to try to find the pieces that work. San Francisco made the right move by getting John Lynch out of the broadcast booth and into a general manager spot. He recognized the talent of Kyle Shanahan. Even though Shanahan was being ripped and you know, people were putting his strategy down in that 28-3 lead by the Atlanta Falcons, in which he decided to keep throwing the ball. But they took a chance on a 40-year-old quarterback, or I mean, a 40-year-old head coach. They went with Jimmy Garoppolo, made him at one point the highest-paid quarterback in the league. They drafted for defense. They traded for, they signed players for defense. They picked up a few acquisitions. And now the Niners are back in the Super Bowl for the seventh time over the last 40 years. And they did it the way the NFL says you're supposed to do it.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we continue to look back on the championship games on Sunday and ahead to Super Bowl 54 down in Miami, Kansas City, and San Francisco. I said this earlier, you can build teams in a number of different ways, right? Utilizing the draft, free agency, right? You got to set yourself up for success with the right head coach. John Lynch did all of these things, and that's why San Francisco is back where they are. It wasn't just Garoppolo got hurt. They went 3-13, or 4-12, I'm sorry, and they had the number two overall pick, but then Garoppolo's better in their Super Bowl team. That's not what John Lynch was putting together. He looked at his team and saw things that they needed to get better at and was not afraid to go get those things. And he took his scouting department and looked and said, look, all right, Nick Bosa was obviously going to be the number two choice. That's fine. I mean, no brainer there. Many people would have taken Nick Bosa there. So he's not some genius that did that. But Deebo Samuel in the second round was a great pick. And I'm a South Carolina guy. And I saw Deebo Samuel with the Gamecocks. And I didn't realize how quickly he would adapt to the NFL game. That was an outstanding pick for them. Dre Greenlaw was a great pick for them too, right? They signed Quan Alexander. They went after and got Dee Ford from Kansas City, right? They went after and filled in some holes. They created themselves a fantastic offensive line that, if you watched yesterday, manhandled Green Bay. And here was the thing. The Packers had played San Francisco earlier this season. We talked about it last week. Annihilated Green Bay. Just annihilated them. It wasn't even close. And there was a part of me that believed, and I, you know, by looking at all the evidence of what Aaron Rodgers, you know, was able to do right after that, by saying maybe it was a throwaway game. Maybe it was a game in which it got so bad, but it's one of those games where the Packers learned from it. They got better as the season went on from that Week 12 loss, and you'll see a different Green Bay Packer team. Well, you kind of did in terms of scoring, but you didn't on the defensive front. The same offensive line that mauled him in Week 12 was the same offensive line that mauled him yesterday. And what's really incredible was the Packers had a week to prepare for that, and they didn't do anything. They did not change anything, and they looked as beat up and broken and backwards on their feet as they did back in the regular season. Now, compare and contrast that to Kansas City. Kansas City played Tennessee in Week 10. There's a lot of games between Week 10 and the AFC Championship game, right? Players come and go. There's injuries. Even if it's not even injuries that keep you out, there's injuries that you may have been feeling then, that you feel worse now, or injuries that occurred after that game, whatever it is. But a lot, you know, there's a lot of adjustment and changes that occur from Week 10 all the way to the end where you play the AFC Championship game. But what did the Titans do in that game that allowed them to emerge victorious in Nashville? Well, Derrick Henry ran the ball really well. And also Tennessee got, you know, help with some turnovers and whatnot, and special teams play was really good for them. But Derrick Henry ran the ball really well against the Chiefs. Chiefs had 1 week to prepare for Tennessee, knowing what he did against Houston to close out the regular season and the Patriots and the Ravens in the playoffs. What did they do? They stacked guys in the box, and they knew that the zone blocking scheme of the Titans, they knew how to fix that. They knew how to make sure they limited any sort of way Derrick Henry could get loose and run down the field. They didn't think he was intimidating. They didn't think he was hard to tackle, right? Frank Clark said that. There was an adjustments that were made by Steve Spagnuolo from the time they played them until they rematched in the AFC title game that showed you they learned from their mistakes and learned things by watching. How exactly was Tennessee able to spring him free for all of those yardages against the Patriots and the Ravens? And they knew they had the personnel to do it. They knew they had the defense that could do it, even though statistically they hadn't been one of the best run defenses all year. And this is on Mike Pettine and Green Bay. His inability to go, hey, look, what are they going to, if you want Garoppolo to beat us, we'll take our chances that we're not going to get run over. They got run over. And if you're Aaron Rodgers, this is frustrating because the window is closing on a 36-year-old quarterback who's gone to a Super Bowl already. But as they pointed out yesterday, when they showed you the San Francisco 49ers that year in 2005, picking number one and going with Alex Smith, and then watching all those teams all the way to the Packers, finally selecting Aaron Rodgers, right? And how Aaron Rodgers had a chip on his shoulder, right? And Alex Smith is injured and kind of probably done with football. Who knows if he makes a comeback? But the Niners have now gone to their second Super Bowl since that draft. And Aaron Rodgers has gone to one. Now, there's a number of factors, I get it, that flow into that. But Aaron Rodgers' window is closing, and he needs some help. And what he really needed yesterday was a defense that could get him the ball back. If he felt like there were some opportunities to get back in that game, when it became a two-score, two-possession game, then let's go out and get something. But he couldn't. Instead, the Niners kick a field goal, and that's it. And then they go up and then they win the game 37-20. But when you went, okay, this is two scores and there's still some clock here. If they can get the ball back and make it one score, now we're talking about something interesting. You get a turnover. All of a sudden it plays right into Rodgers' hands, who's adapt to this. He can do this. He's good at this in terms of getting these comebacks. If you were looking for anything sort of at the end of that game to sort of keep you interested, that was it. But you couldn't, it didn't last that long. Because once the Niners started running the ball, they ran it and kept getting first downs. And then even when Jimmy Garoppolo was forced to throw, he was still successful at doing that. That's on the defense. I mean, Rodgers made a mistake at the end of the first half throwing that pick, even though it looked like he had a good shot of being able to get that ball in there. And that turned into points for San Francisco. His last interception at the end of the game was just a Hail Mary throw up, whatever. But the defense let him down. And conversely, even though I believe that Patrick Mahomes could get into an offensive shootout with the Titans, He didn't have to. If the Titans kept scoring with Derrick Henry and that kept forcing Patrick Mahomes to score to keep up, he was going to do that. But he didn't have to because his defense helped take care of that problem for him. You keep scoring, we'll keep shutting him down. It was 17-7, and the Kansas City Chiefs scored four consecutive touchdowns, and Derrick Henry was not a factor in this game at all.
Doesn't that seem to be their MO? This, especially during the postseason, was to go down and then, you know, just the defense to kind of step it up a little bit more.
Right.
Like find that extra gear to get to just, I guess, allow Mahomes to do Mahomes things.
Sure. Sure. Put him in position to be successful. And Kansas City did the same exact thing with Houston, right? Forcing some mistakes, forcing some bad decisions, saying, all right, it's 24-0. We're screwing up. We're dropping passes. We're making mistakes on special teams. Okay, slow down. Let's get a score and let's see what we can do on here on out. And Bill O'Brien helped out with the fake punt or going for the field goal and the fake punt and all that. But the Chiefs defense buckled down and Kansas City kept scoring and scoring and scoring. And before you know it, they win by 20.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this Titans Chiefs game, they held, when it was 17-7, the Kansas City defense held Tennessee to one more score. And that was late in the fourth quarter.
And that was the thing too. You knew that even though they were down 17-7, this game's not over.
Oh, not even close.
No, by a long shot. In fact, I'm not a betting man, but I should have because I would have bet anything to say, no, the Chiefs are going to come back and win this.
And that's going to be what's interesting about this Super Bowl,
yeah.
Right? Because you now have a team that doesn't come in with a particular brand in terms of offense, right? They can beat you in a number of different ways.
You don't know where it's coming.
You don't know where it's coming. You can get Damian Williams off, and he can rush for 100 yards, or Patrick Mahomes can throw five touchdowns, right? If you had gotten Tennessee victorious in this game, and they were playing San Francisco, you were talking about two copycat teams, right? Two copycat teams that try to win the exact same way. We're going to, you know, San Francisco may be running back by committee, and with the Titans, it would have been Derrick Henry. But you would have talked about two quarterbacks that are not asked to do every single thing on the offensive side of the ball. Now you've got into a really good dynamic in a San Francisco 49ers team that wants to run the ball and play exceptional defense against you, and a Chiefs team that can score in 30 seconds. Right?
But that's,
I think this is going to be really, really fun to see the matchups of where you're going to get the Chiefs offense against the 49er defense and vice versa.
Exactly. I mean, you almost get the sense that the 49ers have the upper hand here because they can force the Chiefs in one direction. I mean,
right.
If the 49ers, if the Chiefs come out and start slow like they have been and get down by 10, you know, I'm not going to say they're going to go down by 20 like they did against the Texans, but say what's happened. Say it's somewhere between 10 and 20. You're going to force the Chiefs to throw. And the Niners can play that ball. But the X factor that I love is the fact that if you force the ball, if you force Mahomes to hold on to the ball and he's the one who has to make plays, you don't know if he's throwing or running.
That's true. That's right. That's where it becomes really fun.
Yeah. And that's where, you know, I mean, it's shaping up to be an exciting Super Bowl.
Right.
Whether
I
we
think so.
Knew it or not.
And, you know, listen, as I said earlier this morning at the top of the hour, in terms of if I was rooting for the best matchup for the Super Bowl, I was leaning towards Kansas City, Green Bay. But I was always leaning Kansas City as the star power of Mahomes and just the excitement of their offense. Their history of, you know, of 50 years not going to the game, that makes a better storyline than what Tennessee would have brought to Miami.
Yeah, well, let's be fair. I mean, you just said that you were leaning Chiefs-Packers, but that's not what you predicted.
That's right. I predicted 49ers.
You were right.
Chiefs.
I went Chiefs-Packers because I was like, you know, the nostalgia factor.
Why not? Yeah.
That would have been cool. But, after watching last night, I can guarantee that the Niners are a much better matchup against the Chiefs than the Packers would be.
All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's, your thoughts on Championship Sunday, or 800-224-2004 if you want to let us know what you think of Super Bowl 54. We'll have more analysis on that, plus the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour as well as we continue on SB Nation AM.
We'll be right back.
listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low rates and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I said on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. Big Mac on Twitter. KC revamped the defense last offseason. New coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo. And key players, they didn't really start playing well until week 11. Since the loss to Tennessee, Kansas City's defense has been the top defense statistically. That is true. Actually, we brought that up in our Chiefs interview leading into, what was it, the Houston game? We talked about We talked with our guy in Kansas City, and we said, listen, statistically, this is not a team against the run, but it had gotten better. And he said, yeah, they did. Late in the season, they revamped, changed some things, and they have gotten a lot better against the run towards the end of the season. So, yeah. So when they say 26th against the run, know that it was better as the season progressed, as Big Mac pointed out. So I believe Kansas City can win the Super Bowl, but as a lifelong Chiefs fan, I have to just wait and see, given the history of heartbreak. Mahomes is slowly erasing any doubts, my doubts. Yeah, that's what I was saying. This kid is such a superstar that, I don't know, I feel confident with him. I do.
Isn't it weird to think, I mean, this is only his third season.
Yeah.
Or if you want to be realistic, 2.5.
Really? Exactly. I mean, you want to count maybe, learning on the bench, right? I mean, playing last game of the season is rookie year. It's fine.
Yeah.
If you want to throw that out there, that's fine. You can learn a lot. I don't want to discount a year where you're not starting and not playing.
But think about it. His first full season, he leads him to the AFC Championship game. Now his second full season, he's in the Super Bowl.
You know what? And again, it goes. Remember what I was saying earlier? Like, here's this league, and it goes, here. Here's all these tools to be successful. At the start of all that is quarterback, right? Is landing the right quarterback. How you stumble upon a person, how you scout that individual, when you choose him, when nobody else wants him, whatever it is. Maybe he's a superstar out of college. However it is, you got to make sure you've got the quarterback in place that can play at this level in this league. And we've seen time and time again, really good college kids coming out and they can't do it. And then we've seen guys that you go to schools you don't really hear of or heard a lot of when they were in college. And then they become Super Bowl. Where did Jimmy Garoppolo go? Northern Illinois? Or is that where he went? Someplace? Whatever. Mm-hmm. But, when Patrick Mahomes was at Texas Tech, it was like, yeah, he can throw. He can throw it all over the place. I didn't see an NFL superstar.
No,
where he's done commercials and he's the face of the league 3 years later. That's incredible. Great testament to him.
You got to love the Twitter site Freezing Cold Takes, right?
Right.
Because they wasted no time to post for the win draft grade on Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, okay.
Here's his draft grade. Patrick Mahomes, quarterback, Texas Tech, Kansas City Chiefs from Buffalo. So Chiefs got that pick from Buffalo. They gave the Chiefs a grade C- for picking
C-
the analysis. Calling Mahomes a project is a major understatement. He's nowhere near ready to play in the NFL, and honestly, he may never be. Between his inconsistent accuracy due to poor mechanics, his tendency to bail from clean pockets, and his lack of field vision, he's going to leave as many big plays on the field as he creates. This was a risky pick.
Wow, that's pretty, there's not even any wiggle room for, maybe he'll work out. Maybe he'll be good.
No, he'll never be that. He'll never be an NFL quarterback.
Yeah. Wow. These draft grades are so hilarious. Because he's not just a guy that's played well enough to get them to the Super Bowl with all of these other things. He's the face of the league.
Yeah.
He is the star of the league.
I mean, there's a lot of times that we've been talking about all morning about Jimmy Garoppolo. He did enough not to screw it up.
Sure.
And that was his role. I mean, he may have to have a bigger role in the Super Bowl, but his role in this NFC Championship game was, let me just be consistent. Let me just not fumble the ball on a handoff. Aaron Rodgers.
right.
Or, I mean, that was a snap,
This turnover stunk.
Yeah. But, he did everything he was supposed to do not to hurt his team. Mahomes is the reason why his team is there.
And that's the great thing about Sometimes you get a story like that. Sometimes you get a quarterback that gets a bad draft grade, or it's a risk, or it's a gamble, and he becomes a Super Bowl winning quarterback, or he becomes a star in this league. Jimmy Garoppolo, who went to Eastern Illinois, not Northern Illinois, Eastern Illinois, he got $137 million from being Brady's backup to the starting quarterback for the 49ers, right? Based on a couple of things that they saw. And now he's a Super Bowl quarterback. He's led his team to a Super Bowl, whether he led them or not, you know, in the NFC Championship game. But you got to get the right guy under center, and it's frustrating when your team doesn't, and knowing that it's hard to find that right person because you don't know where it's going to come from. There's no book on how this is going to work. We look at Joe Burrow and we say all of the right things, but don't forget that about a year ago, nobody saw this coming from him. Nobody thought he would be amongst the elite of the quarterback draft class. Nobody thought he'd be the number one overall pick. Nobody thought he was going to set college football on fire. You don't know where it comes from and you don't know where you're going to get it, but you have to land it somehow. So you have to figure it out. So you have to go out and pick a way to make sure there's a quarterback under center that is going to do exactly what you need them to do to win. The perfect example of that is what you saw yesterday with the Tennessee Titans and Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill is cast off from a Dolphins team that is trying to look for another quarterback. Is trying to get another person. They trade for Josh Rosen at the draft. He signs a one-year deal with Tennessee to be Marcus Mariota's backup at a time where people were wondering how much the Titans were going to pay Mariota after this upcoming season. So he's probably thinking, well, I'll get a paycheck. I guess that'll work for me. Mariota is now out, and their discussion is whether or not Tannehill deserves a contract at all with the Titans, or do they just go off and find another younger quarterback or whatever quarterback, or is this just a flash in the pan? It's likely that he'll remain the quarterback of the Titans. That he'll be the quarterback of the Titans. Coming from a backup situation as a cast-off. Because he went 9-4, of course. Of course, Eric. Because you can't find him. I was talking with this with a friend of mine last week who was saying, well, I mean, should they keep Tannehill? I'm like, who are you going to get? What do you want?
Oh, I know someone.
Right? Right, yeah. I was like, why not get a guy that fits Vrabel's system that's doing so well? If it doesn't work down the line, make a decision on that. But don't anticipate disaster when you don't have to anticipate disaster. Same with Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is going to – Titans are going to go after him hard, but the question is always with running backs, especially ones that have 400 touches in a season, is how much? How much of a commitment? How much of the cap do we throw at a running back that is, you know, 400 touches in a year is a lot. It's a lot when their wear and tear is quicker. But Patrick Mahomes not only has worked out in terms of, yeah, the Chiefs are winning some games. The Chiefs are an elite NFL football team because he's the quarterback.
Yep.
The Chiefs are a Super Bowl team, and they could have been one last year because he is the quarterback. Because what you just read, they did gamble, and they did say he's the guy. I've asked this, I think, with two or three people last year, and I know, touching on it a little bit, when did they know? Right? What did the Chiefs see that made them go, he's the guy, Alex Smith is no longer the guy? He's the guy.
Well, you know what? I mean, that's the question that, because I'm going to largely suspect that it was Andy Reid who pulled the plug on, or who, you know,
sure,
was the one who said, no, I want that guy. It's like, that's somebody needs to ask Andy Reid that question. Like, what did you see in Mahomes that everybody else missed?
Yeah. If everybody is seeing Mahomes out of Texas Tech and going, all right, he can sling it, but here's some things I don't like. Here's some things that I have a problem with. What made them go, yes, yet not only yes to him, but yes to Smith out, who led the Chiefs to the playoffs? Mahomes is in, and we're putting all of our future and all of our money on this kid. Because my God, is it paid off. Paid off in a huge way. Not just Super Bowls. Not just this Super Bowl. Championship game last year and becoming literally the face of this league.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot.
Oh, what a loser!
All right, it is the good, the bad, the dumb for a Monday. And I always like the Monday editions because we've had so much to choose from in all of these categories. So, if you don't already feel good about the Super Bowl, let's feel good with the good, the bad, and the dumb. Go ahead.
No, the good of the day, there's better men than you and I, Tony.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
And I'm going to highlight this guy because he is far and away a better man than I could ever possibly be. There's a man in Michigan, I believe. I'm just making sure the state I got is correct in Michigan. That, he bought a couch. Bought a used couch for his man cave. I guess it was feeling a little uncomfortable when he sat on it. So they decided to unzip the covers. And inside the cushions, hidden in the covers, he found $43,000.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What a lucky find. Now, this is where he becomes a better man than you and I would be because he spoke with his lawyer, and his lawyer says he has no legal obligation to return the money. He tracked down the original owner of this couch and gave the money back.
So does he really know for sure that they had put $42,000 in the couch?
Yes.
So they were missing that?
That's a good question.
Because good for him. I mean, good for him to doing that. But at the same time, you do want to make sure the money goes to the right person.
I know. He found $43,170. And he gave $43,000 of it back. I guess he kept $170. That's what he used to track down said person.
That's great. Good for him. He put time and effort. And when nobody was looking for it, nobody wanted to know where it was. This wasn't Hollywood where there was like three mob bosses tracking down that couch.
No, I mean, maybe there was and he didn't
maybe
know.
There was.
Yeah, that's the behind the music story that we would like to see, right?
There is a movie out there, and I think it's a kind of one of those under the radar movies, but it starred Billy Bob Thornton. It starred Bridget Fonda and either Bill Paxton or Bill Pullman. I can't remember. I get confused with either one of them. The movie is called A Simple Plan. If you ever dream of walking through the woods with your dog and finding a duffel bag of like $1 million or $500,000 and thinking all the things you would do with it, watch the movie and you'd run to the police as soon as you found it because somebody's looking for it. And you don't want that somebody looking for you with you having it.
Exactly.
It's a really good movie. It'll make you think keeping money you find in like that kind of quantity. Because it's like, oh, God.
And maybe that's what the reasoning behind him wanting to return the money was.
Yeah, maybe he was like, somebody might be looking for this, and I don't need them knocking on my door.
Because on the one hand, if I found $43,000 hidden in my couch, I would be ecstatic about it. I'd be like, oh man,
God, yes.
Great. But then at the same time, in the back of your mind, it's like, all right, you know what? What is this money really?
Yeah.
Is this drug money? Is this, I paid off a guy money?
Yeah. What is this? I don't want this. I don't need this that badly. And it's also funny too, because if you've ever watched Jason Bateman in Ozark, where you ever seen Ozark? It's good. It's on Netflix.
I got to check it out.
Check it out. It's pretty good.
But there's like season two coming up?
Season three is coming out. There's a scene in that where a bunch of young kids steal his money, his cash, and it's like $3 million, but it's not his. It's a drug guy's money. And he tells the kids, and this is a great line because it makes you also really think. He says, what do you really have? You have gas money and grocery money. That's all you have. Try to get this under the IRS's radar. Go buy a car. You can't. This is not what you think it is. But it's the people that are looking for it that make you go, I don't need this in my life. And maybe he thought that was cool. Maybe he thought it was some old lady that was, this is her life savings that she didn't trust the banks and said, I put it in the couch.
Or maybe it was someone because he bought the couch at a used store, at Habitat for Humanity Restore.
Wow.
So, I mean, somebody donated the couch to Habitat for Humanity Restore. I mean, it was just kind of probably like a Goodwill secondhand store.
Yeah.
So they donate the couch and then, they sell the furniture and give it to people who are in need. Maybe this was somebody who had passed away.
Maybe so.
And, the family didn't know. I don't know. There isn't much detail about the part of it all when he finally found the person and returned the money.
A lot of old people didn't trust banks after the Depression. A lot of people just said, no. I don't give it. What do you mean I'm supposed to just give you the money and you will eventually give it to me when I ask? No.
Yeah, because that's why there's money laundering.
That's right.
This is right. The couch originally belonged to Kim, this girl named Kim, grandfather who died last year. So
good
it was somebody
him.
Who passed away. And he obviously, that makes that, you know what? He probably was saving his money in the couch for a rainy day.
God bless him. That's awesome. What a great story.
Yep. I don't know if I would do it, though.
I think the NFL should take him to the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's not going to happen.
They should.
No, they're going to send Rob Lowe with an NFL
hat.
That's
right, with an NFL hat. All right, what's the bad of the day?
Okay, the bad of the day. I had mixed feelings about bringing this up, but I've just been inundated about it in my news with Prince Harry.
Stepping down
as royal.
You're going to have to explain this to me because I'm not following it, but
really
I'm following it
know.
On the periphery.
My bad of the day is, why do we care?
What he... I saw a headline, or not a headline, but a line that said he can no longer be addressed as His Royal Highness. And I'm like, is that still a thing? There's still, these are figureheads and they still have to say that to him?
Still a thing. He gave this emotional speech, yesterday or the day before. I don't know. I just saw it on the news constantly yesterday, where he was thanking his grandmother, thanking his queen, thanking his commander in chief. And I was like, really? Is that the pecking order?
Why exactly are they doing this?
I don't know.
Does anybody know?
He said he was forced into stepping away from the crown. Is that because he moved to Canada?
I don't know. This doesn't make any sense. There was also something that said he will no longer get a taxpayer salary.
No, he has to pay off the renovations to his house.
Yeah.
He has to pay.
And I was thinking, wait a minute. So if you live in Britain, you pay, part of your taxes goes to these people's livelihood?
Yes.
Like, you paying royalty to do nothing but just be royalty?
I mean, that was true in the 1500s, right?
When we watched
Game of Thrones, we saw them paying the royals all the time.
But at least they had some authority over your life.
Right? Yeah, they can end it.
They were supposed to keep you protected from enemies. They were supposed to live lavishly, but they were supposed to actually do things to make your life, so that it exists. And they don't do anything.
Apparently, that's still going on.
They throw lavish weddings and appear at soccer games. That's all they do. That's it.
I mean, the only thing I ever see about the queen is that she's still going to. And speaking on this, how upset would you be if you were Prince Charles?
What, that you're...
No, Prince Charles is going to die before he ever takes the throne.
I know.
And by the time he does take the throne, he's going to have it for 2 years.
I was a tiny kid when he married Diana, and I remember it was on every television. We only had four channels, and that night it was on every channel, right? It was every channel was on, it was this wedding. So the killer to me was when I was a kid, like, he's a young guy, and they said, he will be the future king of England. And I thought, that's kind of cool. Here we are 40 years later, and he's still not the king of England.
Still just a prince.
Because his mother's like, I ain't going anywhere.
I'm not leaving this to you.
No chance. You think I'm leaving? No. I got a secret formula that's going to keep me alive a long time.
I kept thinking back, too. I was like, isn't there a way? Don't they sometimes just, like, step down?
Yeah, man, done with this.
I mean, isn't that a thing, too, where you can just step down and let your son take over?
I think you can.
And she doesn't want to, so how bad is Charles?
Yeah, too bad.
How much is she mad at him for?
Yeah, you're right, though. This story is interesting. It's like, it doesn't feel like it has an impact, and yet everybody's writing about it.
Everybody.
And I don't understand. I don't understand exactly how this works.
And I don't understand why he has to give up his title. Is it because he's moving to Canada? Is it because he didn't marry a Briton?
I always thought when you were a prince no matter what.
Yeah.
You were born into it, and there's nothing you can do about it. That was it. It's like that you were locked in. That's the part of the deal, being born into a royal family, that you're royalty.
And then since, we're taking the story a step further, okay? He gave up his title, he gave up his throne, right? If he and Meghan get a divorce and he decides to move back to England.
Yeah, how does that work?
Does he get it back? And will Americans be glued to that ceremony?
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
We will be.
Probably. Good question, Ryan. That's a very good question. Yeah. All right, the dumb of the day.
The dumb of the day.
You said it was good.
Yeah, the dumb of the day, I believe, has to go to me.
Why?
Over the weekend, it was my... it's actually a joint birthday. My sister-in-law and niece, her child, were born the same day.
Man, that's cool.
So we had a joint birthday party, and we got to talking. There were some liquor muscles that came into play.
Yeah.
And my brother has this thing called Da Bomb Beyond Insanity Hot Sauce.
Oh, I see where this is going.
And I was like, you know what? Go get it. Let's do this.
Did your wife go, no, don't get it.
Oh, no. My wife is the best about all this because she filmed the entire thing. It'll probably be good for her. It will
probably
be posted to YouTube at some point because the video was really long.
Good.
Tony, let me just tell you something. This stuff is beyond insanity. It really is.
Like it hurt you? That kind of thing?
The instant you put it in your mouth, your entire mouth is just it's probably hotter than downstairs, if you know what I'm talking about.
God.
It was excruciating. It was incredible. You literally you're drooling the entire time. Like water just was pouring out of my mouth. The worst part about it was that your nose starts to run.
Oh,
instantly,
good Lord.
Right? Your nose starts to run instantly because it's so hot. Every time, when you feel like you have a runny nose, you kind of sniff in. You sniff in and then it's all of a sudden it's back to normal. It's back to the beginning. It's like you started the whole process over again.
Okay. How much of this did you take?
The recommended dose is consume one drop at a time with extreme caution. That's what it says. My brother pours some on a plate, and I dipped the chicken in like I was trying to get some ketchup.
Oh,
on my
come
chicken, you know?
On. You did that? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's it's really bad. But here's the dumb thing. I'm going to do it again.
All right.
I'm a glutton for punishment in this sense because I have to do it. One of our other brothers is getting married this summer. And we're going to have a big family gathering. And I was like, you know what? We all got to do it together because the video is extremely funny. It's not safe for work, though.
Okay, I got you.
There were a lot of profanity. I mean, I could not help myself dropping a few badly laced words, if you know what I mean.
Well, I'm glad you're still here because those are dangerous, man. You could have gone to the hospital.
Could have. I felt like I might need to at some point. The tongue thing went extremely numb for a little bit.
God, that's crazy.
But it was fantastic, honestly. Well, like looking back on it, know that I went through hell and back. I would do it. I'm going to do it again.
Good for you.
That's
good
where the dumb part comes in. Well, it's like I'm sitting there. It's like I'm kind of looking forward to doing it again. I don't know why.
Well. Keep us posted on that over the summer when that occurs.
Remind us of this
January date.
Nah, Tony, I'm going to send you a bottle.
Oh, yeah, please do.
Yeah.
Please do.
Because it's, you know what it is? It's great fun the whole family can enjoy. You just sit around. You dip a little. You don't have that much. And you know what? I hope the shelf life on this, there's no expiration date because there will be a lot of this for years and years and years to come. Because once you have one, you only have a little bit and you're good for a couple of months.
That's awesome.
Actually, if you think about it, it's not a good product or not a good business decision for these guys because they probably don't sell that many bottles.
Drops at a time, right? Exactly. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb. It is SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. In this hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs have a flag that flies over Arrowhead Stadium. It's this white flag that represents their lone championship.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's this white flag representing their 1969 championship. They won the Super Bowl in January of 1970. And Peter King put a picture of it in his
column. It's really nice. I've seen it before. They've kind of highlighted it whenever the Chiefs play a playoff game that, you know, it's been 48 years, 47 years, whatever it is. And it's such a basic 1960s design. It's this like white flag with just words on it. And that's all. It just says Kansas City, Kansas City Chiefs, 1969 world champions. And that's it. That's all they needed back then in the 1960s and 70s was just, here's a flag with some words on it, made at your local banner store. Here you go. Now everything is like super designed with the logos and fancy font and everything like that. Big flags you can hang up at your stadium.
Something else we can say too, I don't know if this is 100% true, but since I haven't seen it anywhere, they didn't run out of fireworks.
They did not run out of fireworks, yeah.
So good on the employees.
Whenever they did the overhead of Arrowhead Stadium, that it's such a big parking lot. All these stadiums with these big parking lots, how come they don't do it like amusement parks do? Where they're like, you're parking in the Len Dawson lot? Let's take the cab to the Len Dawson lot.
And you jump on a tram?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just jump on a tram and just take it down. It's like, honey, where did we park again? I'm sorry. We parked at, you know, whatever star athlete of that generation gets a section of the parking lot named for him.
Hey,
that'd be much easier.
Speaking of parking lot, because, you know, instantly Kansas City, you think of tailgating. Did you see the guy who pulled out a rib?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
that's our hero.
That's a guy. That is the guy. Chiefs, you know, if you get, I'm wondering, if you get another Super Bowl, could maybe do it in the, maybe have one fancy one, but also one in the 1969 font style, too. That'd be kind of cool. But get the fancy one, too, because you don't want to give up on that if you do win Super Bowl 54. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.